Μακάφας ουκόψαν πίναν, ουκόκι τσιτσάχνι γάπινα τσουκάτα και α, ουτσόν τσάχνω ούκτε κοινά πάτα τσιτσιούς νιόκτε, εα, ουκάκι άσχνι. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless each and one of you. You may be seated. I want to address each and one of you as my brothers and sisters. This is a teaching that's been handed down among our Sioux peoples for many years. And the reason why I said brothers and sisters, I'd like to brief this a little bit. We the Sioux have four colors. We have the black, red, yellow, and white. And in many of our Sundance, and I have been trained and taught through the Sundance religion, and the vow that I had made before the Great Spirit, Almighty God, I have made the vow that I will accept the black race as my brothers and sisters, and also the red race as my brothers and sisters, and the yellow race as my brothers and sisters, and the white race as my brothers and sisters. The older people that have handed these down from generation to generation, it has been coming. We speak of red power, physical power, and spiritual power. Let us go into a little bit of detail about really what red power is. A colored man will cut his wrist, and what color is his blood? It isn't black, it's red. And the red man, likewise, and the yellow race, cut their wrist. The blood isn't yellow, it's red. And the white man's blood also is red. If you cut a white man's wrist, his blood is red. This is why we, the Indian people, have so many relations among one another, and we still are reaching out. My nephew Leonard is reaching out every day to get in some new relation. This is what we believe in, that we are brothers and sisters. Through the greatest red investment from Almighty God, from Gashlaw Kantra Thou, to all the human race. This is red power. The red power is a great investment to all human beings in the end, and he goes on to pray, I have brothers, winged brothers and sisters. I have four-legged brothers and sisters. I also have some relation down in the deep in the ocean. This is why the Indian has so much relation, and as we go, I had predicted at Alcatraz Island, and as we go back east, the Indian people are going to have turned all the stones, no stones unturned, but turn them over, and through these we will gain relationship. And when we arrive back east, here we should accumulate a great relationship among these four races I have mentioned. These have been handed down for many years, and I hope that you can understand really what red power is. Then I would like to get into two more things, and I'm sure that you can see what my nephew Leonard is now going through. A tremendous burden on all the nationalities throughout the world, or through the universe. I hope that you can see what I have talked about, Red Power, tonight, and be able to understand what really Red Power is. I'm talking about Red Power spiritually. The other thing that we are getting into is the word communication.
And I take a picture.
And so many places we frown on the word Jesus, especially back on my reservation. But here, we should understand each other. Our communication is terrible. This here is what you call a peace pipe. It's just nothing but a stone and a wood. The pipe doesn't look fancy, nothing. But it's what we put into it, with the faith and hope that we put into it. To us people, the Indian people, this is our Jesus Christ. The non-Indian have went ahead. They had a Jesus Christ come on this earth. They crucified him through jealousy. They killed him and buried him, but he rose the third day. We, the Indian people, sincerely believe that our Jesus Christ is still here on earth. However, we're working on it day and night to kill our Indian people with Jesus Christ. I hope that you will give this a little thought and really put an effort to what really a peace pipe is to the Indian people. One of the other things, these I hope that you will understand and be able to get some ideas of what Leonard is now going through. Leonard is our leading medicine man. He's the youngest. And we have pride and glory in him at home. We need him at home in our ceremonies. Him and I have cried on each other's shoulders many times. I'm also a medicine man. Things I get into, I go cry on his shoulder, and he cries on mine. These are the things that I hope that you can see. What we are doing now is crying on your shoulder for help, and I hope that you will be crying on our shoulder so that we can understand and unite together under one God. There is only one God. And let's not misinterpret. Tungashiva comes from God. Great Spirit. Grandfather, Great Spirit. These, I hope that you can rhyme some things in between and understand ourselves and work it together. Now, the other thing that I'd like to go into, that you would understand, this is a stone that I have picked up in Philadelphia and is going home with me. To me or to you, it's just an ordinary stone, But the meaning behind the stone has a great meaning. Because the great spirit Trungkashilal God, Almighty God, has put this here for a purpose. In our language, we call this the Trungkan. It's going to be old. Oh, it's going to be here first, and it's going to be old here. Many years ago, before the Indians knew about Moses, they interpret this stone as Iyawashitu. Moses was called as Iyawashitu. And he went on top of the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And he brought it back on a what? Yes, he brought it back on a stone. He didn't bring it back on a funny book or anything. He didn't have funny book. But however, let's look at this stone, put our mind into what God has put here on this earth. They are scriptures on these stones for you and I to read daily, where we can predict some of our own troubles here on this earth. I'd like to have you get yourself a round stone and carry it in your pocket. Look at it. There's different scriptures on there every day. And through these scriptures, in time, that you will understand, be able to understand the Indian people, what he is striving for, and what he is trying to hand down from generation to generation. We go into the colleges today. Today the colleges, like one the priest that we come with, the college today, they are thinking of themselves and striving for something that they deserve for themselves. And they use the word, oh, suddenly turn me on. Now, if we the people would get together and be able to interpret these stones to our younger generation and to the colleges, this will be an excitement. This should turn them on at the colleges. Learn the scripture from the stone black. Today is an examination. Great Spirit, I don't know whether I'll make it or not, but with your help, I will make written scriptures on the stone. These I would like to leave to you. I hold the gold title Chief Eagle Feather. Probably the only living chief on the Rosebud Reservation of 2005. He had passed away. This is why I want to make Leonard, this coming summer at the Sundance, I want to ordain him as a chief to carry on. And also, I have the privilege to meet you people, you nice people. And I'm sure we're striving for the same goal, uniting and working together under one God and be able to understand each other. I'm thankful as I stand here that the people here are interested in what my nephew Leonard is going through and the prayers and the things you're helping physically and spiritually. We're trying to understand each other and to work together and unite under one God. As a medicine man and chief, I do not have much education. There will be some other speakers behind me that are very good speakers. And I hope I have touched some of you, each one of you's heart, that we can look together and understand each other. This is my first time in Philadelphia. Here, I felt I was clear out of place until the drum was out here and I met these folks and I was at home. So I'd like to leave you with this thought that a stranger that I had not yet met is a friend. God bless.
Of all, as the traditional and having made the banquet circuits and so on, I'd like to thank the cooks and whoever's responsible for the supper we had this evening. It was very good. And we from South Dakota, we sure appreciate this. And before I start in, it's just my luck. I have to follow that chief. We're both from South Dakota. But on the way down here from our hotel, I demoted him as a chief. The charges were language and thoughts unfitting for a chief. As we came down, he inquired about Skid Row and nightclubs. He might have been there last night. So I demoted him. So before that supper, that drunk you heard, that was his penance. For a while there, he kept his cheek in a feather. But the eagle was gone. It was cheap turkey feather. But he's in good graces with me again. So. This afternoon, Leonard Kodog is my cousin. He had a press conference. And I was very grateful for two gentlemen. I believe it's the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches. They were president or secretary general. The speech that they made impressed me very much because these gentlemen spoke sincerely. They didn't hesitate. And it wasn't a prepared speech. They spoke from their heart. And what impressed me most was their concern for the Indian people and their religion. Why a Sioux medicine man is being harassed and not to practice his religion. This impressed me very much. And I wish to thank the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches, and all personnel that are involved. When I get home, you may be sure that I'll tell all the Sioux people about what these churches and organizations are doing. On the way down, some young man drove us down here. On some community, solidarity committee. I like that word, solidarity. As what they said, we Indians were here first. But as this government was formed, the Indians and the Buffaloes, which is our main survival in the past, were disappeared.
Okay.
But what I heard this afternoon, to the non-Indians that never knew about Indians, if this keeps up, I'm sure the Indian people will survive again with their buffalo. I don't know what to say. I'm just thankful. At the press conference, questions were asked. And in my opinion, this is my thoughts on some of these answers. Why is a medicine man being harassed, kept from his practicing religion? I think in the past, our war chiefs, the chiefs, Crazy Horse, Singing Bull, Gall, Bigfoot. In that time, these medicine men were powerful. And I think the federal government, through our medicine men, they stopped these from practicing their religion back in the 1890s. They put a stop that we Indians cannot practice our religion nor the sun dance. In 1934, the Howard and Wheeler Act was enacted where we could practice our Indian religion again. And the sun dance was allowed, but you cannot pierce them. Just recently, they have been able to pierce again. So, as was being stated from time to time, the federal government in our state has a backlog of federal court actions, which a backlog of cases was piled up. But why did they, when Leonard Kulbaugh was charged, why was it processed through swiftly before the other bad law was cleared? And he was taken to court, put in county jails, penitentiaries. But through the good people, before I go on again, another people I like to thank is Richard Erdos and Gene Erdos, very good people that myself learned a lot. But why, again, I always ask myself, is a medicine man being persecuted, harassed? And as to you good people, the non-Indians that have taken an interest in this, I wish to state that the Sioux Nation, the people needs Leonard Kulbaugh back home. He started out to be a young medicine man, very young. Was never baptized in no church. He practiced his religion. He doctored the sick. He helped people. And Leonard has learned a very valuable lesson. I think some of these questions was asked this afternoon. That you cannot solve the problems the hard way. And Leonard has learned his lessons well in the experience that he has guided the older medicine men back home. And Leonard has played a very valuable, significant part back home between the Christian religion and the Indian religion, which one of the speakers behind me will talk about. When he has information given about religion to the churches, the Christian religion, I'm a Catholic. I was born a Catholic, but I practice my Indian religion too. And this is what we're doing for the past 3 years back home. We're trying to get the Christian religion and the Indian religion to understand each other, because we, the Indian people, pray to the same God that the Christian religion are praying to. There's only one God. And the reason I take an active part in this is the Indians never had it written down. And this is what we're trying to do, to put the Indian religion down on paper so my children, my grandchildren, future generation can carry this on, both with the Indians and the non-Indians. I, for my part, I've always stated I'm willing to share my language, my Indian cultured ways, and my Indian religion that anybody wants to share it with me. Because as time goes on, we cannot stand still. We have to move with time. And when I went into this, some old traditional held their religion back. But I've always stated the color of a person's hair, eyes, skin doesn't mean anything to me. In the future, the Indian children will be coming to this area through marriages. This is what I'm thinking about. This is why I'm willing to share my ways with anybody that wants to share it with me. So in closing, I will again say the Sioux Nation wants Leonard Kodak back to carry on his vision as a medicine man, to help the Indian people to doctor the sick, and to help the Christian religion and the Indian religion understand each other. So in closing, I wish to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Sort of a surprise. This is Dallas Chief Eagle.
My relations, I consider this one a hallmark in an indelible mark in my trailer. Here I am speaking, privileged to speak to spiritual leaders of Christianity. Many, many years ago, there was a man called Moses who looked for the promised land. And today in our Indian religion, we are still looking for this promised land. The right to exercise it freely. The right to share it with you. The right to share our love, and you reciprocate with your love. I think perhaps the term medicine man is also a misnomer. Because too many American people and Europeans take the term medicine man too literally, instead of the farther expansive position that this holds. A medicine man is also a religionist. A Native American religionist. He is not only a healer. He has a great deal of knowledge of parapsychology and the Indian theology and the metaphysical sphere of the world. See, he is a holy man, a spiritual leader. It's like ministers, rabbi, priests. Do we permit the exercise of religion in this country? Aren't we all Americans? I ask you this. Let us be Americans too, because we are part and parcel of this great nation. We are the people of the earth. We are, as Indians, emotionally attached to this land. We have our symbols, great symbols, such as four. Yes, we have our four sacred colors. Very holy and inspiring to us, and then of course our cardinal points. But four, as far as human relationship, is a symbol of the four stages of life. Infant, there's no birth or death involved. There's infancy, puberty, adulthood, and old age. This is life. Look at the tree. Look at the seasons. Look at the four winds. Look at a flower. Examine it closely. A leaf, even a blade of grass. Everything goes through these four stages of life. Here, I'm wearing a medal, a peace medal. George Washington's here, two hands clasped with the American Indians. Is this a fallacy? After 200 years, it is up to us. It is not up to Chief. It is up to all of us here. We have tried many ways to reach out for help. This was made in 1789, the same year the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So I feel that we need not wait too long. I think that one of the greatest religious tribute to our country and to the world is to exercise this spirit of love and shaking hands, a reconciliation with the Christian world. This would be a tremendous impact for the Christian world finally accepting and understanding the American Indians' religion. I know this. We have difficult problems still facing us. And as a great president said, I need your help. The Sioux Nation needs your help. The American Indians need your help. You must recognize that this country initially, government was initially based on violence. It started with the Boston Tea Party, and then the greatest anti-governmental movement started. We have searched. Sometimes you have to use an axe to get attention. But after you get that attention, what do? We Indians are prepared not to sit down and negotiate something, not a tug of war with the negotiations, but we have accepted you as brothers and sisters. In return, I think Christianity dictates, it's a command that you accept us. And you protect us. Because we are all our brother's keeper. And I emphatically, strongly support the just cause that Leonard is striving for. Because it's prepared to belong to the dynasty of the Teton Sioux, the chieftains. This summer, we don't want him sitting in jail when he's supposed to be honored by the Sioux Nation as a chief. Many things are too long. We've waited too long. Both sides. Because we're gathered here for one.